die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
This is one job that I'm still not sure if I would like to do it. Because
I won't.
The level of stress that you need to cope with on a daily basis, I honestly don't think I'll ever be able to do
it. I've got the world of respect for the people in those towers, because I would not do it. I would, 5 minutes, I would cry in a corner.
Absolutely. Craig Poldney with us. He is the, if you're a pilot, you would most definitely have spoken to him to get clearance, to get his permission to land, to taxi, to take off.
Imagine you're sitting in the car right now, and it's like you're off week, and suddenly you hear Craig's voice on the radio. I think you think like, no, my job is following me home.
Craig Poldney, how are you, man? Are you well?
Good yourself, man. Great to be here.
Oh, man.
You know, you laugh about some of the pilots in the cars doing the thing, going, wait, I know this voice. You know, thanks, very good morning to you. Like, no.
Stay away.
Stopping at the robot because I'm not clear to the taxi.
That's fine. I mean, the majority of the, like, here, everyone at least has the opportunity to tune out if they wish. I was like, for those at the airport, they're like, you are my hostage until you are ready to depart. You
know, so
like, you're going nowhere.
Skulk 7700. Listen, it's so good to have you over.
Thank you very much for having us.
I've been hoping that I would ever get the opportunity to meet you in person as well. We've spoken previously a few times as well, but I wanted to get to the responsibilities and becoming an ATC, air traffic controller. I don't think everybody realizes what a tough job it is, what a responsibility it is to do this job, and how well you guys do what you do, because it's incredible. I mean, my reference was yesterday again, just before, and it was crazy because yesterday I wound up flying here at Vonneboom, and while I was in the circuit, I mean, they don't have the systems that you guys have, but even then, I mean, we were five in the circuit at some point. And then as soon as the ATC starts saying break, break, and then I get sort of like a grog op my senuwees, because then I know it's going to get busy. And then you need to be so awake as a pilot. I mean, so the magic word here is situational awareness. And then I always think to myself, man, that poor controller sitting there having to separate and keep everybody safe in that airspace must be a tough job. But let's start off with becoming an ATC. How does one become an ATC?
I must say, that was actually quite an interesting thing, because no one actually sort of realizes, you know, that there's a career in air traffic control, just because we're such a small minority in terms of a skill set, you know. And everyone's like, oh, I want to be a pilot, I want to be this. Like, do you actually look at what is behind the scenes?
Yeah.
And I mean, I honestly never knew about air traffic control. For many years, I was like, oh, it's great to fly. And then it just happened to be a family friend of ours that was an ATC at Joby for many, many years. And I was like, I never knew how to get into it. And then my wife happened to come across an article from 18S advertising bursarships. And that is literally the way into air traffic control, is through the bursarship program. So when you are like, do you know what? I'd love to get in. Apply on the website, go to the bursarship program, and then you're going to go through all the psychometric testing. Do you qualify? Do you meet the criteria? That you've got the right mindset, et cetera, et cetera? Do you have the right grades, et cetera? And then from that moment, the guys are called, then you're in, and you'll start your progression from there.
And how long does it take from start to finish to qualified? Tambo, for instance.
Look, it's going to take a while. Look, it's taken me the better part of about sort of 10 years to get to Joburg. When I joined the company in about 2008, and you'll go through different disciplines. As you qualify, you'll start off as an assistant. I mean, it sounds, you go an assistant, but there are different roles and responsibilities that tasked for. You know, from clearance delivery, flight information service. So when you fly out in special rules outside of the TMAs and stuff, you'll be dealing with Johannesburg info. So those are usually tasked by the assistants, what we refer to now as air traffic service officers.
Yes.
Not ATCs.
Yes.
So you'll provide information, you'll do clearance delivery, issue clearances on behalf of the controllers, etc. So it basically just helps reduce the workload of the actual ATCs themselves. And so you'll start that, and you have, it's a good opportunity and exposure to working with live traffic. Mm. And then from there, you'll then build on going on control courses, aerodrome course, area course, et cetera, et cetera. So as you move through your career, you'll be bounced around from station to station based on the need of the company. And yeah, and again, it's a nice dynamic, because every environment that you're exposed to will add another element of training and understanding that you can always bring along your career.
So, can I ask, for Because I have no idea what it's like to be a controller. Like, I just got, I have the world's respect for you guys. But how much do you need to know about, let's say, the principles of flight, how an airplane operates and the weight turbulence categories and all that stuff? Is that part of the training?
You need, yeah. So all of that kind of stuff gets trained in, trained into us from the beginning. Our core content, basically, when you become an ATSA, all of that is part of our core training. So aviation law, principles of flight, aerodrome layout, all of that information is part of our training, and you will reinforce that information as you go. So as you get, you do different qualifications, you will rewrite exams,
right,
and so reinforce our base information again and again and again and again. Everything at the end of the day is repetition.
Mm.
The more you reinforce certain knowledge, you will basically, it's there at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and that at the end of the day is what you're kind of after.
Yeah.
Is that you don't think, you'll take all that information and then access it almost instantaneous and then make your decisions based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, kom ons doen gou verkeer. This is the traffic, but the road traffic. All right, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And then na dit gaan ons lekker verder met kry gesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
Ons gesels so 'n bietjie lugverkeerssake. We've got Craig Paulney with us from the ATNS, also Joburg OR Tambo Tower Controller. Somebody that's got a huge responsibility on a daily basis to make sure that you that's flying land safely, take off safely, taxi safely, and everything else. But now, here's the thing now. What inspired you to become an ATC? Like, you, did you want to become a pilot initially?
I had a lot of, let's go back to sort of an idea of, is that I've always had a passion for aviation.
Right.
But the experiences were limited. I was very lucky enough to go on an overseas trip when I was younger, and that experience absolutely blew me away, to the fact where you are being the super nerd and flight sims on, hooked up to the hi-fi, flying at night, just the sound, you know, just takes you back, and you're like, yeah, I absolutely loved it. But yeah, never at any point do you actually think of what's happening behind the scenes. And it happened to be a case of joining one of my friends, Justin. And he used to fly out of Lanceria. And we used to go join the guys that sit at the end of the runway, watch the guys take off over us. You're like, oh, this is amazing. And I mean, I couldn't tell you the difference between all the different Cessnas. He's like, oh, that's a Cessna 172, that's a Cessna 18. I was like, I just hear numbers. I don't know.
It's you got know, wings.
It literally was a case of, as a car person, when someone goes, you know, what BMW was it? Was it? It was a silver one.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, so it was, it happened to be that moment where my friend said to me, he's like, would you actually like to visit the control tower? I was like, you can visit the control tower.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'd love to. And that was an unbelievable experience, going up to Lanceria Town. I was like, wow, this, it absolutely took my breath. Like, you just like, I couldn't believe this. It was like, You've been shown the world's secrets. You're like, I couldn't believe this existed.
Sure.
And yeah, unless you just started from there, and I was like, well, I mean, I had a motor industry background, sort of in high performance and stuff. And aviation was literally not an idea or thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do as a career. And when I, like I said, having been pushed in that direction, I was like, I couldn't be more thankful.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're like, you know, you got given an opportunity, take it. And it's become such a massive passion of mine. I couldn't imagine not doing this job.
Well, following you on social media, I can tell the passion. It's unbelievable just to follow you, to see you. And how you've become such good friends with so many of the pilots as well, and how they respect you as well.
I think it's a massive part of that. You know, I mean, aviation world is so small, you need to have that rapport with everybody. I think it's the most crucial factor. This is like, this is about teamwork. Mm. It's not about us as controllers telling people what to do. It's the fact that my job is to ensure that you get there as safely as possible.
Mm.
And I was like, I will do it in the most efficient manner possible, save everyone as much money as possible.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it's a case that we have to do it together.
Yeah.
And working together, everyone understands. It's like, I need to learn as much from the pilots as humanly possible. I mean, you talked about, you know, do we understand principles of flight, etc. Mm. And I was like, if you don't know, ask the pilots. The guys will happily teach you. And because the more we know as controllers, the better we can become. We can understand what is happening behind the scenes from their perspective. And having that sort of collective knowledge makes you a better controller.
Mm.
Every single day you're going to be growing. You're going to learn something new. And that, at the end of the day, is what it's about.
Yeah. Take us through a typical clearance for takeoff or landing. I mean, I know it's a very loaded thing because you can probably speak like 2 hours just on that. But just briefly, what does it entail clearing, let's say, an A380? Let's call it the queen of the skies. She's going to take off now. How does it go? How does it go through the takeoff clearance, for instance?
Oh, we're going to speak a queen of the skies. 747 versus A380. Because I think the main thing is that before you even issue the clearance, you need to look at the thought process that goes with it. Before you even mention the words clear for takeoff or clear to land, you are looking at the factors that affect it. You know, what are the runway conditions? What is the weather like? What is actually happening? What is the traffic pattern happening around? What are the knock-on effects? Because don't forget, everything that we do, there is a thought process at least sort of 5 to 8 steps ahead of the decision that what you are saying now. So they are knock-on effects to the clearance. Sorry, it gets very long-winded very, very quickly. But like I said, so it's just a case of that, cool, I'm going to clear you for takeoff. I've scanned my runway. Is the surface wind correct? Is there anything to affect that clearance, that aircraft? Is there traffic information that needs to be passed? Is there separation between the preceding? You know, if he's being cleared for takeoff behind another aircraft, do you have adequate separation between the aircraft that just got airborne, etc.? All these kind of bits of information come together.
Yeah.
And when it meets all the criteria and it ticks all the boxes, then you can actually issue the clearance.
I just want to hook onto that because I don't think everybody understands this. There's a thing called wake turbulence, right? So if you, let's say a 747 or an A380, if they come in for approach, that wake that comes off the tips of the wings, it's massive. Like it's a spiral and I didn't draw any rounder. So if you have a, let's say, a citation or a Cessna, poor Cessna, behind that thing and that gets caught up in that wake turbulence, it'll tip that aircraft over. It's all umdop. Like you would not survive that.
It will throw around like nothing. And wake turbulence is probably one of the most dangerous things in aviation. But that is why everything gets tabulated. Everything is formulated. There is, as radar controllers, I mean, their job, they have certain distances that they need to adhere to based on the type of aircraft that they are vectoring behind, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there's a lot of skill that goes into being a radar controller. And, you know, I mean, my colleagues that work downstairs for me, I mean, I take my hat off to, during summer thunderstorm season and stuff, it is unbelievable to ensure that what that spacing looks like. It is brilliant.
So how stressful is the job? Let's be honest. Come on. Tell me. Is it really as stressful as I would think it would be?
It has its moments. Let's put it that way. There, part of the training in your development is about trying to develop your skill at handling that stress. Because, again, at the end of the day, is that it's not something that you can pull over to the side of the road and you're like, no, I've had enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't take a break.
No. Aircraft are flying. You need to keep working. I was like, your job is to ensure that everyone is safe and sound. So I think that's the big thing is the fact that when it's stressful and there's adverse weather, I mean, I've had a lot of messages from friends, pilots and stuff, and go, listen, thank you very much for keeping us safe. Those storms were absolutely crazy. And I was like, well, that is my job. You tell me what you need and I'll make it happen.
Wow.
It's just, it's a simple thing that we will work through it. Part of your training and development is to handle that stress through all situations, accidents. Just in terms of any emergencies or anything like that. You get trained to deal with it.
Absolutely. Net hierna gaan ons voort. Hier's Jamie Fine for you.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
Dit was baie lekker. Ek geniet hierdie gesprek nou geweldig baie. Just to get into the world of Craig Poldian, what they do at OR Tambo. I can't wait for the day. For the very first time that I request an approach to OR Tambo, it'll be incredible just to fly that big, massive runway. My little jabby, I'll probably be able to turn around overhead the runway and not even go off center line. That's how big that runway is. It's massive.
You're going to do a touch and go and then still continue 10 minutes down the runway.
Exactly.
You know, some of the biggest thing is the fact the guys don't understand sometimes the scale of how big Joburg is.
It's massive.
I mean, our western runway, 03 left, it's 4.5 kilometers.
It's massive.
And you're like, okay, 4.5 kilometers, yeah, that's quite long. Do yourself a favor. Drive on the highway and measure how long 4.5 kilometers is.
Yeah, it's huge.
You're like, wait, that's too off-ramp. Wow, it's rather big. Yes. Yeah, so no, imagine when you're flying it in something small and slow, you're going,
still over the runway.
But I think that's what's so
still over the runway.
Insane, because obviously Ruben has a background in aviation. I'm just a complete average Joe.
I'm the hostage.
And like my mouth is hanging open for this entire conversation, because I don't think, like, if I'm in an airplane and I'm a passenger, I think my safety is completely dependent on the pilot. As a passenger, you don't realize that, yeah, that's great. He's driving. But I want to mention something that you said off air, if you don't mind, where you said good ATCs talk to the pilot. The pilot doesn't talk to the ATC.
100%. You need to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about good air traffic control is having a plan and being 8 steps ahead of knowing where your traffic is fitting into everybody. Understanding what is the most efficient and best way to get everyone in and out as fast as possible. So, I mean, the thing is, if you look at our sort of mantra from AT&S, it's safe, orderly, expeditious, in that order. So as soon as things are safe, then you can start, make sure it's orderly, and then only expeditious. So when you're a good ATC, you're going to make sure all three of those things happen simultaneously, and you will eventually develop the skills from when you've started to when you get to advanced stations of being able to do it as fast as humanly possible. I mean, one of the biggest challenges at Owatambo is the fact that the thought speed that you need to have is that you're not used to thinking as fast as you have. You're like, yes, I've got a million taxiways, two runways, guys landing, guys taking off, guys crossing. How am I threading my landing traffic between everyone that's taking off into the aprons, between guys coming out? What is the best way to do it? What am I buying time? You know, we talked about wake turbulence. You know, I mean, there's a case of going, okay, cool, I'm going to launch this A380. I've got 3 minutes behind them for wake turbulence. All these times are predetermined. So we know for the next 3 minutes, I can now cross traffic behind them. I can do absolutely everything else before I need to start launching another aircraft.
Sure.
So knowing what your traffic can do and can't do, you start making your plans around that.
Yeah.
So then you start using the most you try to optimize it as much as possible to be as efficient as humanly possible.
What's the hardest part of being an ATC?
Oh, that's going to be a bit tough. Look, I think the tougher thing is just the responsibility side of it. It's the fact that, you know, you always want to do your best at all times. I mean, I promise you, when the guys think, oh, that was a bit of a dodgy, like, oh, I didn't like the decision that was made. And you're like, oh, I should have launched instead of crossing the guys, whatever the case may be. Promise you, we admonish ourselves when we make bad decisions. We're like, that was not the decision I should have made. I was like, that is not the most efficient way. I was like, I could be better. Every single time, I was like, we will judge every performance that we make. We are incredibly hard on ourselves. Because we want to provide the best service possible that we can.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you talked about the responsibilities that we have. I was like, listen, it's family, friends that we know that are flying on on those aircraft. They're like, we're responsible for all those lives. I mean, generally, if you look at it, in about an hour or so, I mean, we're responsible for about 5,000 lives.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know, in an hour, you're like, it's a lot of people that you're responsible for. And again, you talk about who's responsible for what. I was like, the pilots are responsible for you. I'm responsible for you and the pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tougher question, have you ever had to give your number to a pilot to say, there's a number to call, give me a call where you touch down, and maybe just explain to people what does that even mean? That is the last thing I ever want to hear.
Thanks. When you land, please give the tower call. I'm so sorry. Look, I think the biggest thing is the fact it's not about shouting at whoever you've been asked to call the tower. The biggest thing that I find is that it's an opportunity to learn. You know, and I think if you take that as a building block, the thing is that just because we tell people what to do doesn't become that fact that we are better, bigger, whatever the case may be. I must charge you, that is my job. No, at the end of the day, it's about
safety
and working together. You know, so for us is that, in fact, if the guys mess up, listen, we are all human.
Yep.
We are all going to mess up and we need to fix it. So it's about identifying what went wrong, how do we fix it going forward.
Brilliant.
So you're like, right, guys, do me a favor. When you don't, give me a call. Let's have a conversation about what happened. You know, and the guy's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I busted the airspace.
That is the same thing as, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing cuts quite as deep as that. You're like, I'm just disappointed.
Exactly.
You're just quietly dying on the side. You're like, oh, whoa, what is it? So I'm just going to go quietly cry in the corner now. Just please don't find me.
That is the worst. I promise you, I dread the day that I get a number. May that never happen to me. Let's talk about drones flying of drones in airspace, because we've spoken about drones and the regulations quite a bit on the show already. But from your side as an ATC, and how important it is to be able to control the airspace around you, especially if you're flying. I mean, you're not flying Cessnas, and you do sometimes, but you fly mainly the big birds, right? How important is it to be well aware of where you're operating your drone?
Look, it's a massive thing. I mean, I'm involved with the drone community in Johannesburg, and I mean, we've got procedures that we've designed for ORT and stuff like that. At the end of the day, the biggest challenge is what the rules and regulations and how they are written. Because at the end of the day, our job is about separation. So if we need to separate our aircraft from drones, our biggest thing as tower controllers, I need to see them. That's a very small little drone. How are you going to spot that drone when you are sitting 1 to 2 kilometers plus? And you're like, you're just not going to have them visual. Mm. So then we have procedures get designed around how high are you going to be operating, what time are you going to be operating, et cetera, et cetera. So then we will start designing our procedures or accommodating or not accommodating based on what our priorities are. So at the end of the day is that if we look at the way we've designed our procedures, our job is to primarily, we have to protect IFR aircraft. Mm. So that's your instrument, basically all your schedule aircraft. So if we look at their flight paths, we will always ensure their flight paths are sterile from all drone activity, other fixed wing, VFR traffic, et cetera, so that becomes the priority. So when the guys go, I would like to operate overhead this building, we've got a flight path of IFR aircraft on that. That's not going to happen. Mm. It's just that at the end of the day, it's all about safety. Mm. You know, it's all fun and games until something goes wrong.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, I mean, if we look back at history and stuff like that, rules tend to get written in blood. So we avoid that. We avoid that. So like, don't create an opportunity for something to go wrong. Mm. You know, because like, yes, I mean, the drone industry is one of the fastest growing things that is coming about.
Huge, yeah.
And you're like, listen, guys, we can understand it's so much cheaper, you know, doing a survey with a drone versus an aircraft. You're like, cool, that's great, guys. But at the end of the day, argument's sake, if you're flying a drone and you lose comms, it is
flyaways, yeah.
It will learn. You're like, okay, cool. I will now return to its original point and then land. Great. What happens between who's in control between where you lose comms and when it returns to its original point?
Yeah.
There is no control between those two points.
Yeah.
So if our job as controllers is to anticipate what is going to be happening with our traffic, how do you then protect something that starts to fly completely autonomous? I've got no control and no protection.
Mm.
So then that's why when you see the guys, thanks, we've got someone flying a drone trying to take some very pretty pictures for Instagram. We're like, I'm sorry, I've now had to cancel departures. I've had to break guys off, send them around because of somebody flying their private little drone, taking pictures and stuff like that. Like, at the end of the day, it's about safety.
And also, I mean, people don't understand. Let's take just a Boeing 737, for instance. They don't understand, even a go around, the cost implications of you having to send a 737 around because of somebody flying a drone illegally or whatever the case might be. The cost implication of that 737 having to fly around to do approach again, it is ginormous amounts of money that they need to fly out.
I'd be speaking under correction, but I think if the guys have to do a go around and refit back into the pattern, I think the guys will burn about another 1.5 tons of fuel.
Oh,
let that sink in for a moment. It's crazy. Yeah, so it's crazy.
Then hit you with your drone.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bigger picture.
Be aware. Be well aware of what you're doing. Listen, man, I think we can do like a 4-hour show, 5-hour show with you. Thank you so much for your time. I didn't even get to half of the stuff that I wanted to get to. But it was
story of our lives. Again, there's a reason why I talk for a living. You understand? The guy's like, you should be on the radio. Oh, wait, here I am. And then I've got the hostages at the airport. So, yes, it's fine.
I warned you two about this off air, okay?
No.
But Craig, I need you to be
fine.
Very
no
nice.
No pressure, Ruben.
No way.
I need you to be very nice. So Craig's whole thing was, you get better by learning. And Ruben, jy is nog altyd lifelong learner, okay?
Wait, hold on.
I need 15 seconds.
Yes. Sharunika, wait, hold on. Let me just say something. I'm a student pilot. I'm a newbie. I'm not a commercial 6,000 hour, 10,000 hour pilot.
But he's going to be nice. Look at him. He's going to be nice.
Sweet and innocent.
If you ever watched Chucky, that's the smile we just got from Craig. This is just because I said earlier, we see ATCs on TV and stuff like that all the time. And I want to just know, if you've never, I've had the opportunity to be in a smaller tower and see the amazing work that you guys do. So the only reason I'm doing this, it's for the listener, okay. Ruben.
Right, let's go. Zulu Sierra Alpha. Our Tambu Tower Zulu Sierra Alpha Bravo Charlie, good morning.
Alpha Bravo Charlie, very good afternoon. Go ahead. I'll show you say good morning.
Alpha Bravo Charlie is a Cessna at Hangar 41. One crew on board, solo student. 3 hours endurance, requesting your taxi clearance for circuits, please.
Thank you, Alpha Bravo Charlie. Taxi, Alpha Holding Point, runway 03 left.
Alpha Holding Point 01, taxi left and takeoff as required. No, I'm kidding.
And it's going to be, and we're going to fix all the things that are wrong with that, the holding point, the runways, all the information that goes with it.
Please call the tower when you land.
Here's your number.
I think we change the plans. Turn around and go back to the hangars. Let's have a conversation, a briefing. You know, there's a reason why I spend so much time actually going to the flight schools and stuff. You know, when I've, like I said, been around the country, but been in George, been in Cape Town, been in Grand Central, and you know, it's so intimidating for a lot of the students, you know, to deal with ATCs because they're like, oh, they just have such a fear of us. And we're like, listen, we are human like everybody else is, you know. And I was like, guys, let's debunk this myth. Mm. And I was like, let's have a conversation. I was like, what are you struggling with? Let's talk about this. I was like, everything that you do must make sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the biggest things going forward is the fact that everything that you do, you're like, there must be a progressive step. You're like, I need to start. Then I need a taxi. What am I expecting in the taxi? I'm going to be speaking on the taxiway. I'm going to be expecting the holding point, the runways, pressure setting, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know what is going to be asked. You know what is going to be said. So the anticipation of knowing what's going to be coming helps you plan.
Yeah.
Cool. What am I going to be doing? I'm going to be doing the circuit. Mm. So, again, you only have so many options. You know, line up and wait, clear takeoff, report on the downwind, report ready for base, report final. There are only so many variants to what our clearance is going to look like. So you can plan and then practice. I mean, it's the same as our students. It's the fact that you have a preset, if you want to call it like that, set of instructions that you're going to be giving. So our job is reinforce that. Mm. No clearance that you're going to have, practice it.
Yeah.
Because then as soon as you are making the decision, you're like, right, of the five instructions that you give, which one's the one that's relevant? And you're going to be issuing, next step, next step.
And I suppose the other really important thing is know the airport before you fly the approach.
100%.
Know where the taxiways are, know where the runways are, know what the headings are, etc., where the hangars are, where the aprons are. Know these things, plan ahead as a pilot as well.
100%. I mean, but that's the entire thing of pre-briefing. It's the same for us as ATCs. Before we sit down on position, our job, we're going to be sitting down, we're going to be going through our procedures. What are the NOTAMs? What are there any closures? Are there any restrictions? You know, what is happening at the airport? Is there anything that's going to be influencing when I sit down? What are the challenges going to be?
Yeah.
You know, so that, same as your pilots, they are going to be pre-briefing. They're going to be looking at, oh, do you know what, there's adverse weather where I'm flying to. Do I need to take extra fuel? You know, will I be diverting? What will my alternate be? What is that airport, you know, the planning for that airport, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm going to have to stop it there because our time's running out. Thank you so much, Zulu Sierra Alpha Bravo Charlie, turning final for runway 29.
Thanks, Alpha Bravo Charlie. Runway 03 left. You are clear to land.
Clear to land. 03 left. Alpha Bravo Charlie, thanks for accommodating.
Anytime. Love you, boy.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Cheers. Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.